We're reading the Gospel now from St. Mark in this particular cycle. And the Gospel of St. Mark was probably the first of the four Gospels to be written down and circulated throughout the Christian community, probably even maybe 10 years ahead of St. Matthew, which came after that. St. Mark was not an apostle. He was a close companion, a translator, and assistant to St. Peter, and he traveled with Peter and traveled with him all the way to Rome. And he had also previously traveled with St. Paul. So Mark's gospel was formed by stories of apostles, and probably it may have been the gospel he learned and gave us, probably is Peter's gospel, the way Peter told the story. So we get a lot of precision out of Mark. It's a very short gospel, very precise in some ways. So there's some vivid situations, and there are some very, very clear events that happen, such as the beginning of Jesus' ministry soon after John the Baptist was arrested. And Mark tells us, after John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment, he writes, that Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." These were the words of Jesus, the way Peter remembered them, and Mark retold them. The time of fulfillment. Jesus, of course, knew well the Old Testament prophecies and that they all pointed to the Messiah. They pointed to him, to Jesus. And now they were fulfilled by his coming among them. The kingdom of God is at hand. Well, where God is the kingdom. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. So he can say the kingdom of God is at hand because he was present. We often get in the habit of speaking of our life as if we're going from point A to point B, like we're going from earth to heaven, that movement that we tend to think in it. But in fact, it's the other way around. Heaven comes to us. Listen again to the words of the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when Jesus is present, earth is present and heaven is present. And Jesus comes to us, heaven comes to us. Now, we still are going to die in our physical bodies. Jesus called it falling asleep, but we don't die. We're transformed. And Jesus called disciples. He called dozens of them, and he taught them, and he performed signs for them. And from these disciples, we hear today that he chose 12 men, and he gave them the name apostles. The 12. It's an interesting number. If you follow much of in the Bible, pretty soon you pick up on the fact that in Hebrew, numbers often have symbolic meanings beyond just a number. The number 7, for example, is used to describe a contract, a covenant, a finishing of something. So that, for instance, in the Genesis, we saw the world was created in 7 days. A covenant is something complete. It's been sevened. The world use these numbers in the Jewish world. The number 12 refers to governance. You may recall that when Israel moved back into the Promised Land after the exile in Egypt, there were 12 tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, most of those disappeared right around the year 900 BC, 900 years before Jesus, and the only tribes that were left that you could count on as Jewish tribes were Jerusalem, Judah, and Benjamin. The other 10 to the north had been absorbed by various invasions and so forth, starting with Syria. And Jesus saw his role as coming back and reconstituting Israel, calling Israel back into a nation. And he called 12 apostles, and they were to head up the 12 tribes of Israel. But now Israel was going to be a much bigger concept. It was going to be worldwide, and they were the apostles of this, the governance of this new thing, and Jesus founded the church. These readings hold a lot of meaning for me. You've heard me say that I'm a convert. I was born into a Protestant family. I didn't find meaning there. I was searching for something, and if I was going to be a Christian, I decided that I wanted to be in the church that Jesus founded. I don't know if you see these things that come through your email sometimes, like recommended YouTubes and so forth. Somebody sent me one last week, and I got a kick out of it. There's a priest in the video, and he's got his new, machines. You can say, "Hey, Google," and ask it a question, and it searches the database in the internet and comes back with an answer. You may have some of those. Well, so this priest is sitting there, and he says, "Hey, Google, who founded the religion of Islam?" And, well, the religion of Islam was founded by Muhammad. "Hey, Google, who founded the Mormon church?" "The Church of Mormon was founded by John Smith." Okay. "Hey, Google, who founded the Protestant churches?" Well, the Protestant churches were formed by Martin Luther and John Calvin. "Hey, Google," the priest says, "who founded the Roman Catholic Church?" And Google comes back and says, "The Roman Catholic Church was founded by Jesus." Google knows it. And I discovered that church as a young man, and I've fallen in love with it. And I have come ever more to appreciate that our church is one, it's holy, it's Catholic, and it's apostolic. When Jesus founded the church, he entrusted it to his 12. He gave them the authority to forgive sins. He gave them the authority to preach and teach. That's the church we've received. And he remained in the church. So the issue of where did Jesus go after his death and resurrection? Did he go away and disappear from earth? The early church didn't believe that. They believed that he stayed with the church. He never left us. He told us in Matthew, "I will never leave you. I will be with you until the end of time." And how does he do that? Well, he's in the sacraments of the church. The seven sacraments of the church are Jesus' presence. He never left. So he's in our baptism. He's in our confirmation. He's in our first communion, our Eucharist. He's in reconciliation or confession. He's in the priesthood. He's present to us in the Mass. He's present in the Word. He never left. The kingdom of God is at hand. Well, Catholics who practice their faith, who live specifically the sacramental life of the church. That means we receive Holy Communion. We don't miss Mass. We go to confession when we fall off the bicycle. We live in the kingdom of God. On this side of that doorway of what we think here about the pearly gates, baptism is the door. Baptism is what gives us new life after we die with Jesus and we live with Him. Baptism is the door to the other sacraments. It's as if we live, when we're in the church, living the sacramental life of the church, it's as if we live in the anteroom of heaven. We're there. We can lose it, but we're there. And if we continue to be faithful, be assured you're there. Repent and believe in the Gospels, Jesus said. We cannot live in God's kingdom unless we repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to submit. Repent means to give up my selfish ways so that I can follow His ways. A conversion is a repentance. And we all go through conversion more than once throughout our entire lives. I think I had one this week. And it's a moment where we say, uh-oh, this is better than what I was thinking. I need to conform myself to this because I know this is from God. I'm in awe of how God is handling this. I'm going to submit. Repent. When I go to confession, every time you go to confession is a conversion. I did something wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Conversion and repentance are absolutely essential to enter God's kingdom. We hear sometimes, I hear it a lot, people say, oh, I haven't sinned. I haven't killed anybody. I don't need to go to confession because I haven't done anything seriously wrong. I don't need the church. Me and God got it together. I get more out of God up on a mountaintop watching the sunset. You've probably heard some of that. I believe God understands me. I don't have any reason to change. I am who I am. You ever hear those types of things? That's not repentance. And that's not conversion. And Jesus tells us, repent and believe in the gospel. This is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. It's a requirement. And Jesus established the church for us to be guided, to learn, to grow, and to prepare ourselves to live permanently, eternally, in the kingdom of God.